It's now time for Insurance Smart with Gable Insurance and Financial. Call now with your questions at 923-1450 or 1-888-900-1450 for Insurance Smart with Gable Insurance and Financial.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us for this week's edition of Insurance Smart. And we opened the front door, and who walked in? None other than Emily Lackis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We don't get to see you as often as some of the other folks, so it's always good to have you drop by, because you always talk about a little bit of a different topic, but it's equally as important and probably more prevalent for more people.
Right.
Because normally we're talking, you know, retirement and Obamacare and getting to that age bracket. But what your forte is general insurance lines.
Right, which affects pretty much everyone.
Yeah, you think? I'm thinking. So what do you at Gable Insurance do to be sure that your clients are properly covered?
Yeah, so my name is Emily, and I'm a personal insurance advisor at Gable Insurance. And we like to do things a little differently in our office. We like to provide all of our new clients with two quotes. So what we do is we gather all their information, and we offer them an apples-to-apples quote, matching what their current coverage limits are. And then we kind of go over a couple different checklists with them, and then we like to offer them a recommended quote as well that we tailor to their needs based on the information that we gather throughout the quoting process. And because we're an independent agency, we have the opportunity to work with about 20 different personal insurance companies, and each carrier offers unique policy coverages and guidelines based on what that particular carrier's appetite of business is. And this really helps us to tailor the carrier's coverage to choose, you know, a carrier for each client based not only on the premium, but on what their coverage needs are as well.
You know, you bring up some really good points with what you just said. So many of us suffer complacency.
Yeah.
We've got the coverage. The bill comes. We send in the bill. We send in the payment. And voila, we're good for a year.
Right.
However, how good are we?
Yeah.
And that's where that checklist comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, when you first get insurance, it's generally after you move out of your parents' house and you're independent and you're on your own, and you just pretty much will call up an agency or go online to Geico or something.
Or go where mommy and daddy went.
Yeah, you set yourself up with something and you don't understand what your coverage limits are. You just, like you said, you just pay the bill when it comes and you send it off. So how do you know what the exclusions are on most policies? And then when something happens and you don't know, that kind of
hurts.
That's
a shock.
Yeah.
definitely a financial shock.
Yeah.
And people, you know, your example here, people move out, they don't even realize, probably some young people, that renter's insurance exists. Mm-hmm. If you're renting an apartment, the apartment building is insured.
Right.
But not your stuff.
Correct. Exactly. One big thing is, like, if you have a teenager who just graduated high school and they move out and they go to college and they're in a dorm, typically your parents' homeowner's insurance will extend about 10% of whatever their personal property coverage is on their home insurance to their child who's in a dorm away at college, because they're still a dependent of the family and they're not, you know, they don't have a whole lot of stuff in a dorm room.
And seeing college dorms, 10% probably is more than
right.
enough.
Right, yeah, exactly. So they do get some coverage
chair,
there.
A bunk.
Right, but once you sign a lease of your own and you move out and you're independent and you're having to buy your own, you know, furniture, kitchen items, utensils, you're on your own. You need to have renter's insurance. Otherwise, like you said, the apartment building or the home that you're renting out of, that building itself is insured by your landlord, but your personal property is your personal responsibility.
That checklist is really important. I mean, what you do with your two quotes is amazing, because you got the apples to apples comparison, the existing policy versus another company, perhaps, coverage to coverage.
Yeah.
But boy, that checklist is an eye-opener.
It is, yeah.
We went through that with you, and it is just an eye-opener. Just walk us a little bit through some of the things that you look at with this checklist that people that, like, you don't think of this stuff.
Right. So Larry in our office, he developed this checklist about, you know, 30 years ago.
He's not that old.
No, he's not. Maybe it was like 10 years.
I'll send him a bill for that one.
And it goes over, you know, the major exclusions that most home and auto policies have. So, you know, we go over the general questions of, you know, what vehicles do you have? Do you have towing coverage on your policy? Do you have car rental reimbursement on your policy? But then another big eye-opener, which is kind of funny, is going over, like, do you have any boats, motorcycles, ATVs, things like
that? Toys.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that just assume that your boat or an ATV is covered under your personal property coverage, and it's not. If it has wheels and it moves, or it's a boat, if it's a unit, you know, a moving unit of itself, it has to have its own separate policy. There are some carriers that still will give you liability coverage on like an ATV if it's only used on your property.
Oh.
And then you don't have to schedule it. There's no physical damage coverage for the unit itself, but they'll offer liability coverage if you're driving it on your property. But the second that you drive it across the street or take it off of your land or take it to another location, there is no longer any coverage. Same thing with boats. Some home insurance carriers have restrictions on, they'll offer liability to a boat if you have, if it's, you know, real small horsepower and, you know, around 16 to 18 feet or less, if it's a real small boat.
You mentioned liability. The state requires liability insurance, but that is really minimal.
Correct.
I don't even know what it is nowadays, but it isn't much.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what it is for sure. I think it's around like $25,000 per person, $50,000 per occurrence on an auto policy. So a huge thing that we look for on your auto insurance when we're reviewing it is what you have for uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage, because that coverage on your policy is there to protect you. So a big red flag that we have is if we look at someone's policy and say they have good limits for their bodily injury, and we look at their uninsured and underinsured, and if they were to have less than what their bodily injury coverage is, then we have a conversation with them about, you know, do you not think that you are just as important as the person that you're insuring the liability for? Because the uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage is there to protect you in the event that you're in an accident. So that coverage really should be at least what your bodily injury limits are to protect yourself. And that UIM is what it's called, coverage on your policy, really is not that expensive to have. So it's, to bump that up a little bit is not a big deal. But to have that protection for yourself, that's a big deal.
I think a lot of people think, wow, I've got health insurance, I don't need it. But
yeah, but health insurance doesn't want to pay either. They want to find a loophole to not have to pay for it if they don't have to.
Right. And there are different, I'm assuming, coverages that one would and the other one wouldn't cover.
Right.
So it really is worthwhile looking at to make sure that you're covered.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you said, just because it's a law doesn't mean that people follow it.
You think?
Right.
Seatbelts are a law, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So just because they have to have it doesn't mean that they do.
Right.
Definitely.
But let's take it a step further, switching gear here a little bit. You've talked, about the mobility portions of insurance, auto, boat, ATV, et cetera. What about our homes? I mean, there are a lot of things on that checklist, and that's where our eyes were really open.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, your basic home insurance policy covers your dwelling, which is your house itself. And then you have your other structures coverage, which is any structure that's detached from your home. So that would be like a detached garage or a shed, or, you know, if you have a fence around your yard, but it's not attached to the house, a swing set, you know, some kind of structure that's not attached to the house. And then you've got your personal property coverage, which is all of your stuff that you store either in your house or in your garage or your basement, wherever.
And that's hard to estimate.
It is, yeah. And we have some good checklists that we can give to clients that kind of just give them little, you know, brain teaser ideas of, okay, how much do I think I have in appliances? How much do I have in furniture? It just gives them a list of, these are all the things you might have in your house. What do you think it might, you know, you might have for each one, and then total that up. And then you've got your loss of use, which would be if you have a claim to your home, or even if, you know, you have a renter's insurance policy, if there was a fire in the apartment building and you couldn't live in the apartment building while they're either repairing it or in the meantime of having to get a new place to live, that loss of use coverage covers for you to stay somewhere else in the interim. And then you've got your liability and your medical payments. Those are your basic coverages that are on your policy. Some things that people don't think about are the items that you would schedule. So anything of like higher value that you may have appraised that you want better coverage for.
Or should have.
Yeah. Appraised. So, right. So like your jewelry is a huge one. So yes, a basic home insurance policy does offer some jewelry coverage on the policy itself. But what you don't know, or what most people don't realize, is that there's a limit on that. So say they'll offer you $2,500 for jewelry, but they're only going to offer you $500 per item is what they'll pay out. And that's subject to your $1,000 deductible.
Wow.
So there is a lot of stipulations. So that's why we highly recommend that if you have a wedding ring or a, you know, a piece of jewelry that's of higher value to you, that you schedule it. And yes, you have to pay, you know, a little bit extra for endorsing that onto your policy, but it's really not much. It's very minimal to schedule jewelry, and all you need is an appraisal showing what the actual value, you know, the replacement value is, and a description of the item. And then it's covered if it's the, you know, the two biggest losses are mysterious disappearance. You know, you lose the ring, you have no idea where it goes, mm-hmm. or theft. And another one is if you're wearing your ring and the diamond falls out, it would be covered if it's scheduled, subject to no deductible if that's how you have it on your policy, if you mm-hmm. choose not to have a deductible.
Yeah, and that you'd never find.
Yeah, and those types of losses, that mysterious disappearance, the theft, and if a, you know, a jewel had fallen out of the ring, those are not covered on your basic home insurance policy. So that's huge, because that's the biggest reason for people making ring claims are mm-hmm. those reasons.
Mm-hmm. That leads to an interesting thought and question. You present your beloved a beautiful, expensive engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
You're married 20 years. You got the appraisal when you got the ring.
Yeah.
And now you want to get the endorsement on it. That's a 20-year-old appraisal.
Right.
And a lot of jewelry, you know, appreciates over years.
Mm-hmm.
Does the insurance company accept a 20-year-old appraisal and then...
No.
No. So you need to reappraise.
Yeah, they usually have a guideline of like 5 years. They want that appraisal within five, you know, it's got, it mm-hmm. can't be older than 5 years old, because so they want to make sure you're keeping up to date with that. And so do you. That's for your protection as well as theirs.
But who thinks of it?
Right. Right. Yeah.
It just came to my mind now. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, okay, we're married, you know, X number of years.
Yeah, you just stick it in the safe and you don't think about it.
Yeah, and I've never given that a thought until just now when we're talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah, so you always want to make sure that you're kind of keeping that up to date to make sure that you have the coverage on it where it should be.
What about contents of the shed? Is that covered under that extra rider?
It's covered under your
lawnmower, your snowblower, things
so like that. So your lawnmower, your snowblower, those items are covered under your personal property. Because they're used to maintain your lawn. So that's different than like an ATV or a boat or a snowmobile. Yep. Yeah, so those are covered under your personal property coverage.
Okay.
I know another thing that we look at scheduling too, other than jewelry, another big ticket thing, which lately has become controversial, is guns. You know, a lot of people don't want to share what mm-hmm. they have, and that is 100% okay. But something that we like to remind our clients is that, same as jewelry, your home insurance policy has a limit of what they'll pay out for firearms. And that's usually around like $2,000 is what they would pay out, subject to your deductible. And for some people, that's not a big deal, because they don't want to claim their firearms. They think of it as their own separate thing that mm-hmm. they don't want to talk about.
They don't want to let you know they got five AK-47s.
Yeah, right. And that's fine if they want to keep that private, but we just like to make sure that our clients are educated to know that if something were to happen, this is what your coverage would look like, just so you're aware.
Be prepared.
Yep. Because, again, you can schedule your guns on your home insurance policy just like you do jewelry. You give us a description of what it is, a value, and we add it to the policy. And then it's covered, you know, if you're hunting, if you're up in a deer stand and you drop it and it breaks, or you're duck hunting and you're walking through a swamp and you drop it in the water and it gets all waterlogged and it's useless and then you have to get a new one. It covers that kind of stuff. But, again, you don't have to. That's your personal choice to keep those items private if you prefer.
I know it's something we've never talked about, and it's a little bit off topic, but maybe you can just address briefly. Okay, we've got this beautiful coverage package on our home, and something happens. A tree branch falls on it, maybe a small fire, whatever. Describe what we do at that point. What's the claim process? Who do we call? It's stressful enough as it is.
Yeah.
And you're going to be out of the house, like you had mentioned earlier. What's the process?
Right. So we always recommend that our clients give us a call first if they have a claim, or if they think that a claim is going to be what ends up coming of a situation. Mm-hmm. We generally ask that they call us first. Let us know what the situation is. We can talk them through the process. We can help them file the claim. Obviously, if it's something, you know, like you said, if it's a fire, if it's something big, you know, catastrophic even, and say if it's after hours, obviously call the carrier directly and get that going right away. But we like to try and have our hands in the claims process with the client throughout the whole thing and be aware of what's going on, so that way we can best help them and talk them through the process and help explain. I mean, they've got their claims adjuster. That's going to be probably the biggest help for them. They're going to be able to answer the questions that we can't answer for them as far as, you know, how they're going to work with payouts and get everything going. But we're there to help advise them along the way, to help them through those situations and explain things maybe a little better than an adjuster would, as far as coverage that we may have talked about in the past, or, you know, different situations that we're aware of that the adjuster isn't, because we have that relationship with them.
Is it helpful in the event of a claim to have pictures, whether they're digital or whatever, of your personal goods?
Yeah. So one of the things that we go over on our checklist actually is we ask our clients if they have a video inventory or a list of their personal items. And we recommend that everyone does, whether it's you walk through your house and you take a video of all of your personal belongings, you know, going through your kitchen, opening up all of your drawers, you know, getting a video of all the stuff you have in your cabinets, in your closets, in your basement.
I got some drawers I don't want them to see.
Right, yeah.
Because you wouldn't find it anyway.
And if people don't have video cameras, and, you know, just taking pictures and then storing that. And we recommend that they store it in a dry, safe place off-site. So if they have a family member that they can store it with, or, you know, if you're real tech savvy and you can save it on your computer, save it in the cloud, somewhere that you have it, that it's safe and not just in another drawer at home, and God forbid you have a fire and then your inventory is toast as well.
Right.
But yeah, that it definitely helps with jogging your memory, because if you're, say, you know, you have a fire and a total loss to your house, your mind is going to be in a million different places, and remembering how many shirts you had hanging in your closet or how many forks you had in your drawer is on the bottom of that list. But it's a list that needs to be done for insurance purposes to get you back to where you were prior to that fire. And so it's incredibly helpful to have that in case of a catastrophic loss.
You know, just thinking about what you're talking about, a Sleep Number bed is going to be a lot more expensive to replace than a Sealy mattress.
Definitely, definitely.
You know, and if you don't have any proof that you had a Sleep Number, or any of the expensive ones.
Right, right.
Even Tempur-Pedic, that's not a cheap mattress.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It definitely helps to have that documentation and be able to remember, these are the things that I had.
Alrighty, so if we want to get involved in improving our coverage, is that something we need to wait for renewal time for? Or can anybody who is concerned that they don't have enough coverage call now and make an appointment and go over it and make changes? Or do you have to wait for the expiration date of the given policy year?
No, so you can make changes to your policy anytime throughout the year. And the nice thing about Wisconsin is that we are a prorate state, which means that you can change your insurance throughout the year, as far as if you were to come and have us quote your insurance for you, and it's midterm for what your current policy is, and you were just to decide to switch midterm, you could switch at any time, cancel your current coverage, and then say if you paid them in full, or even if you are paying them monthly, depending on what their payment cycle is like, any unused premium that you've already paid to your other insurance carrier, they'll send that back to you then. And what we like to do is, like I said, we go over this checklist not only with all of our new clients, but at renewals with our existing clients. We like to send this out to them as a reminder of, check it over again. There may have been changes throughout the year that you didn't think to send us. Because like you said, some people assume or don't remember to make changes mm-hmm. until that renewal comes in the mail. And so you can make those changes at any time during the year, but we take an extra step and sending out a renewal review before your renewals come to say, hey, these are some examples of some things that might have changed over the year. If you've had changes, let us know, because then we can, you know, go forward from there.
The advantage of having somebody local to deal with.
Right.
I mean, that's what it comes down
yeah,
to.
Yeah, definitely.
Having a local number to call, a person you can look at
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, this is what I got. This is what happened this year. What do we do now?
Right. Yep.
All right, you got some webinars coming up, and that's a very, really a price right affair.
It is, yeah. So we recommend that all of our listeners take advantage of our free webinars that we have. They go over Medicare, Obamacare, and maximizing Social Security. We typically have them on the third Tuesday of each month at 3:30 and at 6 p.m. And so if you're interested, you can register for those webinars by either calling our office at 920-921-7526, or you can visit our website at gableins.com.
And the next one is coming up not that far away. I'm just looking at the calendar here. That's like probably next week, third week?
I think it is.
I don't have a monthly calendar here. I just got today's date, but I think it's next week. Isn't that her? Is it the week after?
This month is flying.
Yep,
the week after, so okay. It would be the 20th.
20th, okay. So call or go online and
yeah.
get yourself. But going back to what we're talking about today, which is things that are not covered at the webinars, if you've got questions, give Emily a call.
Yeah, definitely.
And even just take the time to make an appointment and go over what you've got and what coverage you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And get that apples to apples comparison, and then you'll show them the oranges and bananas.
Right? Exactly.
And
yeah,
we're going to all walk out of there healthy.
Yeah, and you don't have to take our recommendations. They're recommendations. You know, it's just what we would see fit for what you should have.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of go over that and explain why we're recommending it for you. And then the ball's in your corner, you know. It's
yeah.
your choice.
And
then you're advised, and you know.
It doesn't take a half a day to go through this either.
No.
it really doesn't.
No, yeah, it usually only takes about like 10, 15 minutes to go over our replacement cost guide that we do for your home
mm-hmm.
and then this checklist. So it's really, it's not that painful.
All righty. If you want to summarize, because we've got a minute left here, I've got 30 seconds, what the high points from today?
Yeah, so the biggest things are just making sure that you have the proper coverage. So making sure your ATVs, your boats are covered. If you have any items that need to be scheduled, such as jewelry, you know, just making sure that all those major exclusions that most of your home and auto policies have, that you're covered if necessary. If that's something that you have, you want to make sure that you're covered before something happens.
All righty. Next week, what you need to know about Medicare, but we're afraid to ask. Kathy, you'll be here. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
And you have a great week.
You as well.
Thanks for listening. KFIZ Fond du Lac, it's 8.
Will President Biden pack the Supreme Court? I'm Pam Pusso, Fox.